Blog Talk Radio.
There's a lot of people under the sound of my voice tonight. God has sent for you once. God has sent for you twice and three times. Some of you God has sent for 30 and 40 times. But you stop your ears to the voice of God and you haven't listened to God. But let me tell you something. One of these times God's going to set fire to your barley seed. And there's only one way that God can get you to come. And that's to take something you dearly love.
You know how many times we get in this life to mess up on y'all? Oh, I know all righteous men will fall, but you guess what? Seven times, but you only going to die one time. You ain't going to get to come back and say, y'all, can I do this all over again because I done had a flame of hell on my ass. He ain't going to give you no second and third and fourth, fifth chances. You got one life and that's it. You better live it right.
Why should a sinner repent? Because God deserves the obedience and love that he has refused to give him. Why should a sinner give up all his sins? Why should he be challenged to do it? Why should he make restitution when he's coming to Christ? Because God deserves the obedience that he demands.
The only sin we living in is the past that should have been gone and done away with by the blood. That's why we sit here with a guilty mind and guilty conscience. I guess we're trying to say that, Father, I guess that Yahshua's blood wasn't strong enough or powerful enough to do away with my sin.
God don't delight in ripping you. God warns you. He said, if you don't confess your sins, then I burn your barley seed. God's extended the time again and again. You've laid on your bed at night and you've had God come and wake you up and say, seek my face, child. And you said, not tonight, but later on. Not tonight, but later on. Next week, God. Next month, God. Next year, God.
You got to get rid of the fear from the beginning and leave the worry. What do you think this walk is? This walk is about the warriors and getting rid of the fearful. Because the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, they're all going to have their part in the lake was burning with fire and brimstone.
Fire! The blood makes atonement for us all.
God, if I've got anything in my life between me and you, God, I'm going to confess it and forsake it. God! Search me. God, get
Hey, shalom, shalom, saints, shalom, shalom, shalom. Hallelujah. Hang on, we ran into technical. Brother Shane got back online again. Hallelujah. Well, can everybody hear me? I guess the audio checks. Brother Steve had a refresh. Here comes the 11s. Hallelujah. Hey, good to see y'all family in the room tonight. It really is. Blessings to y'all. Of course, this is... For those of you that may not know the guests or whatever, my name is Elder Becker. Elder Becker will be hosting tonight's Blog Talk Radio, the Brothers segment. Hallelujah. Yeah, everybody's quick with the reports. Well, I guess we're good to go, Bro Shane.
Right.
Hallelujah. Well, Gloria, I hope you all had a beautiful Shabbat rest and blessed fellowship. I know we sure did here. We always do Shabbat, and I thank the Father for it. And I thank the Father especially for the tremendous word that we get. Definitely we feast because the Sabbath day is a feast, and Yah provides a feast in the word. in the spirit, and of course, and for the natural as well. And we do here, you know, we definitely get to eat both. So hallelujah. Ah, man, sorry, brother, or brother Joe, sister Kelly, brother Shane just walked out the door, but I'll let him know you said bless him. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. Well, tonight's blog talk, I'm gonna talk about judgment. Not so much Yah's judgment, but I'm gonna talk about more about man's judgment, and more so about the inability to judge, or when to judge, or how to judge, or even why they're judging. And we're going to cover that tonight. Of course, it's, you know, this subject here is like, you know, almost everything else in the Word. It's inexhaustible, and you could go to great, great lengths to, you know, cover it, but we're just going to cover it in brief tonight. And I think you'll get the gist of the message anyway. Hallelujah. Anyway, again, it's my pleasure to have you all on board tonight. All the saints from all over the place, from Texas all the way up to Minnesota, all the way up to Canada, and all over. Man, connected by the internet. Ain't we something in this day and age? Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Man, you know, just before the broadcast, it's just unbelievable that Brother Shane pulled up a video, and you know, it was John Tatum doing a video. You talk about a perversion in righteous judgment. I mean, it's just astounding to see where the mind goes, to see that the speech of anybody when they seek to be justified and stand corrected, or stand as, you know, somebody that was a victim in the sight of somebody else. It really was quite disturbing, you know, because Peter said that they wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. Well, anyway, it isn't surprising. That's just, you know, a last-ditch effort to remain some type of credibility, but hey, have at it. What are you going to do? You know, people have their opinions. That's part of the will of man, to be able to speak your mind, but believe me, there is a cost to just speaking one's mind without thought. Anyway, tonight, again, the topic is judgment, and with that, because it's going to be a little over an hour, hey, bless y'all. It's going to probably be a little over the hour here, but we'll try to get it copied here, try to get it going here and make it go the hour. Again, thank you all that, you know, support the ministry, especially for your prayers for the ministry, especially for the man of Yah, Pastor Dow. Hallelujah. And for the leaderships, for the heads, for the elders, thank you all. And for one another, I guess that's the most important, that, you know, as the word said, pray for one another. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Anyway, with that, we're going to get started. Appreciate it again, Brother Paul, for, again, keeping the saints, you know, up to date the best you can, is posting the verses and, you know, the definitions. So with that, we're going to get started. All right, this topic is called judgment. All right, it's rather obvious that to many have lost the fear of Yah, and while they believe that they are walking in the fear of Yah, being deceived for them own selves. You know, how can we know this to be the case? Well, because these brothers and sisters have no reservations or concerns about laying forth judgments, putting judgments out there, especially those which are the big key, uninformed. Secondly, driven by a bitter spirit and an offended spirit. You know, judgment and judging, folks, these are very serious matters. I'm talking very serious matters. And every word that comes out of our mouths must be weighed carefully, very carefully. It must be thought before we speak. All right, starting on the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 1. Let me see, 7, 1 through, Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 5. Glory to the King. All right, Yeshua says, the Master, the Messiah, our soon coming King and Savior, says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged." So when Yahshua is saying, right in the opening, he says, "Judge not, that you be not judged," he's telling us something right away. You know, if you can maintain, maintain your mouth, keep your mind, and not put forth a judgment, you're not going to get anything rendered back to you. But if you speak, this is what's going to happen. "For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged." So there's a due recompense of reward for whatever comes out of your mouth. "And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." You know, we just saw this recently with this absolute outrage against Eric Robinson. I mean, that was definitely, and there's going to be a judgment meet back again on this whole thing. Verse 3, and why, you know, this is the thing. These folks, they stand up and they got something to say, you know, like it's just, we're just listening to John Tatum, and he's making judgments, right? He's telling these people that are sitting there, his what's left of his congregation, he's making a judgment, right? And this is the thing that happens a great deal, if not most of the time, when people act just out of impulse, out of emotion, out of being irrational, acting out of not having all the facts. This is the thing that is never thought of or never taken into consideration, what Yahshua said in verse 3. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?" Oh, sure, he might have problems. There might be something going on. Somebody may be overtaking in fault, but considerest not thou the beam that is in thine own eye? Oh, hell no. I mean, I ain't got a problem. I'm doing right. I'm the one making the judgment. So I got to be in the stand. My stature has to be correct. It's the problem with my brother or my sister. "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own? Let me tell you what the hell's wrong with you, what you got going on, what you need to fix. Let me pull the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye, own eye." Can't see correctly. You can't judge a situation if your discernment isn't correct, if you haven't been filled with all the right, if you haven't done your due diligence. If you don't know what you're talking about, shut the hell up. Verse 5, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye." The word hypocrite in verse 5 is the Greek 5273, hypocrites, something to that effect. Anyway, it's from the Greek 5271. It means an actor under an assumed character or a stage player, that is figuratively a disassembler. Somebody, a hypocrite, is there to actually cause a division, to cause a separation, to put two people at odds because they believe, as Yahshua said, that they behold something and somebody else sets a fault, that's a transgression, that's a sin, and they're speaking irrationally, out of emotion, not considering what they got working in them, just on an impulse. And it comes from the Greek 5271, which means to decide, to speak or act under a false part. That is dissemble. Okay, so basically what we have is somebody that's a dissembler. You are the one that's going to bring division. You cast out the beam out of your own eye first so you don't cause a division between the saints. Psalm 36, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 36, verse 1 and 2. To the chief musician, the psalm of David, the servant of the Most High, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart." This is what David, he's observing something. He's saying, what these people are doing wrong, this is what it's telling me, that there is no fear of Yah before their eyes. David, the servant of the Most High, he makes that declaration. He can say it, a man after Yah's own heart, that there is, first off and first most, there is no fear of Yah before his eyes. That's the person that David is observing. Verse 2, "For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful." There is no fear because these men have painted a self-portrait of themselves as some voice of authority. You know, some great intellectual has all the answers. And even in ruin, they are still blinded to their own deceiving. You know, found to be hateful words of so-called righteous indignation, when in reality, these are words designed to bring destruction. That's what you're talking about when you when you're dealing with people that flatter themselves in their own eyes, puff themselves up, make themselves mighty, consider themselves some type of voice of reason and authority, when of course the beam is in their eye. Psalm 36. No, I'm still going on. I'm sorry, Brother Ugly. That was 1 through 4. Did I say 1 through 4? Oh, well, that's where we're going, 1 through 4. Verse 3. The words of his mouth are iniquity or crookedness, as Pastor brought out beautifully in a teaching last summer. The words of his mouth are crookedness and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. Well, one way we're going to find out to be wise is he withholds your words until you know the whole matter, until you're actually in a position where you may be able to speak righteously. Other than that, shut the hell up. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. Do you imagine that somebody that their whole heart, from out of their mouth, all they speak is hidden things, deceitful things, things there to cause somebody to fall, to stumble. Verse 4, he deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. You know, deviseth mischief. You know, this is what laying on the bed, thinking about these things, you know, planning and plotting and the, you know, the I will show them attitude and I'm going to make amends for myself and I'm going to be justified. The no one makes me look bad type of syndrome, you know, and you know, I'm going to have my day of vengeance. You know, judge not lest you be judged, but whatever you judge out, it's going to meet back to you again in the same manner. Romans chapter 3 verses 10. Romans 3, 10, let me see so I don't get 10 through 13. All righty. As the Apostle Saul said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So if there is none righteous, then what do we got? There is none that understandeth, there is none that seek after Yah. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. But Paul is talking about a particular kind of person here, a particular type of spiritual condition. He's saying their throat is an open sepulcher. I mean, it's a tomb. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. You know, be on guard, saints, against those who, you know, they come peaceably, they come softly, and they offer you their opinions, okay, quote, opinions. They're going to enlighten you about, you know, what they perceive, what they see going on, about whatever the matter may be. And, you know, the, well, I kind of see it this way approach. You know, this is what they're trying to do is, what they are doing is trying to set you up to make you, to make you the judge on their behalf. They're setting you up to actually embolden you to go forth and speak on their behalf, okay? You may have a little bit more position in the body, a little bit more authority, but the elders and the heads of the assembly in straightway are pretty discerning about stuff like that, but still, you may have a brother approach a brother or a sister approach a sister with this, you know, hey, you know, this is... Yeah, I kind of see it this way. Maybe, you know, they're missing a little bit, but they're going to embolden you to, you know, come forth and speak your mind and pass a judgment. And then when they fail, when they get reproved, when they get exposed to that judgment that it's a lie and it's deceit, that it's a completely miss the mark judgment, they sit in the background, and the one that they set up to go speak, they're the ones that all the eyes are on, while the other person's back there just, you know, waiting for somebody else they can start out. And believe me, we've seen this at being a part of Straightway. We definitely saw this here. I mean, there was people that used to live here years ago, and we'd actually warn them, you be careful of this person, you be careful of this person, because they are hypocrites. They have a way of dissembling the body. They're going to put stuff out to you. They're going to show you the murmur, complain. They're going to pass judgments on the rest of the people here. And when you get caught, they're still sitting here. And because your offense takes you out the gate, they're still here. But Yah has dealt with, nobody is going to hide from the Most High. You know, and what you need to ask that person is, if somebody approaches you like this, what you need to do, the first thing, if you can discern quickly, if you know what's in front of you, is have you run it by the pastor or the elders first. And, you know, point them in that direction first. And of course, this here accomplishes a few things. First of all, it's going to show you what manner of spirit you're dealing with, because, you know, if they do go and seek out the counsel of the pastors and the elders, the heads of the assembly, you know, the ones that the fathers appointed and put in those positions, you know, then you're going to know that their intent may have been righteous. All right. May have been. Okay. But they may be just doing it out of fear of actually being caught later. But, you know, if they avoid approaching pastor, the elders at all, you already know who you're dealing with. You already know what their intention was. So you already can see the fruit, if I'm making sense. And then on another note, as I'm talking about this, be careful. There's saints that, you know, brethren and sisters that, you know, they got this pattern. So go to all these other different people that go from person A to person B to person C to person D, whether it be an elder or someone in authority, head of an assembly, or just a brother, looking and trying to pick a right answer. You know, I don't want to get off the topic of judgment so much, but stuff just popped my mind like this. And they're going to go around and keep getting till they finally find the person that's going to side with what they believe the way it is, or they can understand their heart or their problem, whatever it is. You know, and so you ask them, have you talked to, you know, such and such about it already? You know, especially if it's a weightier matter. You know, it's been given unto the saints to judge, but, you know, just be careful of what is being presented to you, you know, because people will try to flatter you. They'll try to puff you up. They'll try to, you know, you really understand, you know, I think you can really answer this type of question. And the whole time they're looking to gain something. But anyway, getting back on topic. Let me see. Now, I think I messed up. Oh, man. Is verse 10 through, Brother Ugly, verse 10 through 18. All right, I'll get with the program here yet. All right, 10 through 18. All right, continuing on in Romans. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness? Well, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness? Those that are an open sepulcher, their throat is, they use their tongues as deceit, the poison of asp on their lips. These are the ones whose mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. I mean, this is all this wave of stuff, all this rotten fruit that follows these people. You know, and why are destruction and misery in their ways? You know, why are these things are evident in their ways? Because absolutely, they're full of pride. And the way of peace have they not known. How can you know the way of peace when you're full of bitterness and cursing? You can't. It's not going to come unto you. The peace of Yah is not when you're full of a contrary spirit. And again, taking from the Psalm, because all of this is because there is no fear of Yah before their eyes. So they can be an open fountain. Their throat can be an open, they can speak freely because they have no fear of Yah. They have no fear about what their words are doing, what kind of damage they're doing to somebody else, what kind of misrepresentation they might be displaying, who they might be poisoning, who they might be actually pulling into a net, taking in the snare and taking them down with them. Again, judgment is a very fearful thing, an absolutely fearful thing. And to speak without thought, to speak by emotion, it really is, because all these things are going to be accounted in the day of judgment. All right, going to the Apocrypha, the book of Sirach, chapter 20, verse 4. Sirach 20, verse 4, Ecclesiasticus. All right. As is the lust of a eunuch to deflower a virgin, so is he that executed the judgment with violence. And of course, when you look at the comparison here, the writer of the book of Sirach or Ecclesiasticus, he wanted to see a comparison. He wanted to say the same manner of spirit. And what it was is it's purely an act of insanity. You know, it to actually believe in eunuch can at all at any time remove a woman's virginity is as insane as a person which in their rage and self-justification executes their own brand of unrighteous judgment. You know, they believe themselves to be right. I think we'll get to that one too. All right, Romans chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Romans 1, 21 and 22. Give me 1 minute. All right. Because that when they knew Yahweh, the key point is that these people did know the Most High. They had a relationship with Him. They glorified Him not as Yah. Why? Because they had no fear of the Most High. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was dark, and we're going to do it our way. We're going to approach it our way. We're going to handle it our way. We have no fear of the Most High, you know, whatever the case may be. And verse 22, but this is the reason, because professing themselves to be wise, they had to consider themselves some great thing. They became fools, wise, a wise, somebody that's skilled, professing themselves to be skilled, to be learned, professing themselves to be some type of theologians, or professing themselves to be teachers. You know, we're going to attempt to tell everybody else how it should be. But they became fools, or they became dullards, simpletons. They became those whose salt has lost its savor. And actually look up the word fools, and that's what it said, those whose salt has lost its savor. John chapter 7, verse 24. John 7, 24. Yeshua said, judge not according to appearance. Ooh, that's a big one. But judge righteous judgment. You know, think about how many times that we have fallen prey to this, whether it may have been yourself, may have been your brother, your sister, somebody, you know, at some points, everybody, I think, believe has been touched by this, that, judging after appearance, you know, supposing that they have a clear picture of the situation and they got all the facts in line, they got all the orders, you know, and they just go ahead and put something out there. Well, this is the way it is, and, you know, I'm judging the matter this way or this certain way. Yeshua says, but judge righteous judgment. So if you can't judge not according to appearance, that means it's got to be something that goes a little bit deeper than just that. Well, first of all, you have to know what the knowledge of the word says. You have to know what the law of the Most High says. You have to have the baptism of the Ruach HaKodesh. All these things are going to enter into allowing you to actually do how the word says to do, how to conduct yourself. So if a situation comes up where you do have to, you know, you're put in a position to make a judgment, or you're going to make a judgment, you're going to speak out of the fear of the Most High, first of all, and then you're going to be stand a better chance of actually knowing that what the words that you put out, you know, do stand the test, because whatever judgment you mean out, it's going to meet back to you again. So that's why the Bible also says, you know, judgment rejoiceth in mercy. So, you know, boy, I tell you what, if you judge harshly, you're going to get judged back harshly. But if you judge in mercy, it'll meet back the same way again. All right, back to Ecclesiasticus, chapter 18, verse 20, Sirach 18:20. And this is what the writer said. He said, before judgment, before you even let anything come out of your mouth, examine thyself. This goes right back to what, you know, Jesus was talking about. You know, you first pull out the beam that's in your own eye. So before judgment, examine yourself. You got to take a good look at what you got going on. You know, if you're dealing with a situation, you know, this person is rubbing you the wrong way, or you don't care for the way that this person conducts themselves, you better examine yourself first. Is this stuff working in you? Have you got the same faults working in you? And secondly, it's going to help you clear any type of emotional thing that you've got going on. So, you know, if you're going to put something in your heart towards this person, you're actually going to speak out. You know, you stand a better chance of not speaking unjustly. And in the day of visitation, thou shalt find mercy. And the mercy is going to become you actually sat down and examined, looked at your own self before you jumped up and started pointing fingers. All right, Luke chapter 6, verse 1. I'm going to get them all this time. Luke chapter 6, 1 through 11. And here it goes. Okay, Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass on the second Shabbat after the first that he went through the cornfields, and the disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And a certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? All right, here's another thing that causes people to judge unrighteously. Those that have their own book of the law, you know, these religious zealots, and these are the things that they're pulling, they're you know, pulling from to pass forth. First of all, there's this thought formulates in the mind, okay? And now all of a sudden it's working, the focus is working into an accusation. You know, they're looking to judge from their own perceptions of what is right and wrong, what is evil and what is good. They're actually recategorizing the Torah, the law of the liberty that is in Yeshua. Why do you that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And the Messiah answering them said, have you not read so much as this? Man, haven't you even sat down and at least looked into this much about it? You learned scribes and Pharisees, you religious zealots. What David did when he himself was hungered and they which were with him, how he went into the house of Yah and then taken each showbread and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest alone. And he said unto them, now that goes back to judge not after, not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. This is a very fine example of such a thing. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is master also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. Oh, and here we go. The scribes and the Pharisees, they watched them. Well, these religious folks, these legalistic folks, man, they're watching. Whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. An accusation according to what? Again, it goes back to their own personal book of the law. You know, do you have any idea how many people watch and wait for Pastor Dowell and straightaway the ministry, you know, not to line up with their preconceived ideas that these folks are going to rise up and level false judgments and accusations? People look all the time. They're hoping that, I mean, there's actually desire in some of these parts that they actually have to see one of us, you know, a perceived fall, that there's a mistake made so they can stand up and point the finger. See? Look, you know, I told you, Jesus, I'll tell you, it's amazing over the years. Anyway, verse 8, but Yeshua knew their thoughts and said to the man with the withered hand, I'm going to go do this anyway. I'm going to show these zealots and these legalistic folks and these whatever else you want to call them, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. He's going to go through this thing anyway. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. I'm fixing to put something right up in your face, and I want you to give me an answer, all right? Because you've already got a decision, but I'm going to ask you something. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about all of them, upon them all, he said unto the man, because nobody said crap. Nobody could come up with nothing. All right. Stretch forth thy hand, and he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And guess what? They were just filled with madness. Well, first of all, because they had a doctrine. They believed they had a righteous approach. They believed that they had righteous indignation, and they were going to see this. And, this man transgressed against their own personal law, right? And they were filled with madness. Man, have we seen that before? In commune one with another that what they might do to the Messiah. For what? Proving them to be false? Man, I'll tell you, hallelujah. Let me see what time is. I think it's I'm going to have to take a break here. It's about that time. So we're going to take... we're going to take a ministry break in case there's any new folks listening in, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straight Way Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. The King is coming. Glory to the King. All right, getting right back on it here. Going to Isaiah chapter 5. Verses 20 through 23, Isaiah 5, 22-23. And then the prophet Isaiah, by the word of the Most High, says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." And this is a reflection about what just took place in the book of Luke and how that these scribes and Pharisees, the religious zealots, these know-it-alls, these spiritual authorities made these judgments or passing judgments against the Messiah according to accusations. And this what Isaiah wrote is exactly what they were doing. One of them would call evil good and good evil because of preconceived ideas, differences of philosophy, differences of idealism, and perception, whatever the case may be. But one of them would call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. Again, I remember talked about in the Psalms earlier that they flatter themselves, believe themselves to be something, that they have this type of voice, this platform where they can speak. without thought, pass judgment without thought. One of them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent or distinguished or intelligent in their own sight. One of them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Well, this isn't the fruit of the Spirit that they're drinking, that's for sure. Justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. You know, I've seen stuff like that in plenty of times in the past where, you know, people get placed, put in a position where we have to make the judgment, especially Pastor Dow. I want to, you know, more aptly him than anything because things constantly fall on his plate because people just can't seem, especially Israel, for some reason just can't seem to get along, you know. I mean, it's not everybody, but we're seeing this dead season, what the Father's bringing this stuff out. So that's a lot of the stuff that comes back across Pastor's desk. And on several occasions, I'm not going to go into detail, but there's a particular, instance that's going on right now that I've been informed of that, you know, there's brothers actually writing back and trying to tell Pastor Dow what the Torah is saying to enlighten him that the judgment that he's passed isn't correct. And this is the same thing you get here. They take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. And they're attempting to, but they're not going to be able to do it. It's because they want to justify the ones that are in wickedness and transgression so they can get themselves a, some type of favor and pat on the back. But that's not going to play out here. It never has, and I don't believe it ever will, ever. Hallelujah. All right, Romans chapter 14, verses 1. I think this is broke up a little bit. 1 through, maybe not. 1 through 15. Romans chapter 14, 1 through 15. The Apostle Paul says, writing to the assembly at Rome, him that is weak in the faith receive, but not to doubtful disputations. Now, when Paul's saying not to doubtful disputations, he's saying not to some type of inward reasoning, not some type of questioning about whether they're actually, it's true or their truth or not, you know, and not to some inward judgment. Don't be putting this on these people, especially the ones that are weak in the faith, because you have a little bit more strength. But he goes on to say, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. You know, it doesn't make them, don't make yourself a judge because somebody can't, you know, isn't where you're at or perceived where you're at or whatever the case may be. Paul's, because he was having this problem in assembly. People were saying, you know, they were making these, they had these inward thoughts, their own ideas about how these other people, you know, that were sitting amongst them as saints, because Yah is the one that brings these people in here. He's the one that draws them and calls them, not the people that are standing there with these, you know, inward reasonings, these questionings, and making these self-imposed judgments. That's not for you to decide. Okay, what the thing is that if you have somebody weak, the strong are supposed to strengthen the weak. That's how they work, not sit there and pass a judgment, right? For one believes that he eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judgeth him that eateth. For Yah hath received him. I mean, it's before the Most High. So careful, you're stepping on the Father's. You know, the Father brought him in. You're basically stepping on his toes, saying, "I'm more of a judge of this person than you are. I'm more aptly fit to make this discernment, to make this stand this position to say this person don't qualify than you, Father, than you, the Most High." And there again is the loss of the fear of the Most High. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. I mean, who the hell are you? Well, really, who are you? Yeah, he shall be holding up, for Yah is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Are you in the faith? Are you walking correctly? Are you upholding the banner and standard of righteousness? He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Most High, and he that regardeth not the day to the Most High, he regardeth it not. He that eateth to the Most High, for he giveth thanks to Yah. And he that eateth not to the Most High, he eateth not and giveth Yah thanks again. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. No man's an island to himself. For whether we live unto the Most High. Whether we die unto the Most High. If all of our focus is to the Most High, there's no time for a lot of this pity-patty crap that goes on. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Most High's. For to this end, Yahshua both died and rose and revived, that he might be the master both of the dead and the living. Verse 10, but why, after all this, after knowing what the king did for us, that the Father brought these people into the assembly, that he joined these to the assembly, why dost thou judge thy brother? And why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Yahshua, meaning Paul is telling, look, what are you doing all this mess for? You're the one that's going to have to answer this, stepping out of turn, you know, making yourself the authority, making yourself the one that's going to set this aright because you see some kind of problem that ain't got nothing to do with you, ain't got nothing to do with you at all. All right, the word not is the Greek 1848, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce the word. It's X something. Anyway, it's as close as you're going to get. It means to make of no account. So why dost thou make of no account thy brother? Mean less than. Bring him down to a piece of bread. Show him that because he's got some type of difference in him that doesn't meet your standard, that doesn't meet your idea of what a saint should be. You're gonna bring this. You're gonna make him of no account in front of the assembly. I think not. Man, the Most High brought this person in there. You be careful what you're saying, what you're standing up pointing a finger. And again, it's another case of we tend to judge others when they don't meet our own personal criteria. Now, that is the blessing of, it really truly is one of the privileges of being at the ministry at Straightway. I know that the home assemblies there, the fellowships that, yeah, you do see, you do see a diversity of people that you've met over the years since you've been a part of Straightway, but I got to say, not like we have here. We've seen just an enormous diversity of people come through these gates in the past. I've been here almost 16 and a half years, and I guess, you know, since the community's been around over 18, so we definitely, a lot of times, can identify right away what we're dealing with, but, you know, if we know somebody that's coming in that's, you know, not as esteemed or isn't presented. He's more quiet, laid back, may have some other weaknesses. Man, they're just as much as an important part of this ministry as you know, the top person. So that's the beautiful thing. All right, going on. For it is written, as I live, saith the Most High, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to Yah. So then every one of us, shall give an account of himself to the Most High, and especially how he went and judged or misjudged our brothers and sisters. Verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. Now you take note of this, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That's the thing that we ought to judge. The words that come out of our mouth, are they actually causing dissembly? Remember what the word hypocrite was when in Luke chapter 6? And in fact, the word offense, if you go back and look, it actually means stumbling block. So no man put an offense or an occasion to fall in his brother's way, because these are the things you have to get an account for. So be careful the words you speak. Think of them very clearly. Are they for edification? Are they in love? I mean, even a rebuke should be done with mercy and in love. Correction should be done in love. You know, always considering yourself first. What if it was you standing there? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. I'll tell you what, the Apostle Paul, he was all over this church in Rome. I'm telling you, he just let them have it about this judgment stuff. He's all over the book of Romans. I guess that's because they were aristocracy, and who knows, they were from that type of culture. I don't know. It's like being from the Americans, because, you know, you're born and bred in this country to be proud, and, you know, stand, we're proud to be, what's his name, Greenwood? Jeez. help me, Father. Anyway, Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Paul saying, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. Man, you ain't got no excuse. You know why? For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest. And when Paul's saying condemnest, he's talking about, you know, you're making a judgment against your own self. You're sentencing your own self when you do this stuff, when you do this stuff unjustly and unrighteously out of whatever reasoning that you may come up with. But, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest, and thou condemnest thyself. You sentence yourself, or thou that judgest doest the same things. Again, he's just just telling again this assembly the same things that Yeshua had already said when he was talking to his disciples. He's repeating, he's reiterating this whole thing to him again. And because you're going to get your own judgment again, that's why you be damn careful about what you speak to people and how you approach them. This expecting more out of others than you can produce or show your own self. You know how many times pastors said that over the years? It's like that's almost on repeat all the time. Chapter verse 2, for we are sure that the judgment of, we know this much, that the judgment of Yah is according to truth. But how about this old man that's inexcusable? Is his judgment according to truth? Against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of Yah? You actually think you can get away from this? You actually think you can stand up there and berate your brother, your sister, put it out there, you know, poison them, make them less than what, you know, in your eyes, because they don't meet your standard. And you don't think you're going to stand in judgment, man, be careful what you say. Be very careful how you approach people and what comes out of your mouth. Have this in the forefront of your mind every time your mouth opens up, because it should be all for edification for one another. Despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of Yah leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness. Now, Paul is addressing this particular spirit here, the one that's inexcusable, the one that's making all these judgments. He's saying that this is the reason you're doing this stuff. This is the reason you think you can stand forth and just spew this crap out of your mouth, because after thy hardness and impenitent, which is an unrepentant heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath. Well, there's the reward. Against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of Yah. Yeah, bitterness and unforgiveness, exactly. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. Boy, it's a serious stuff. It really, really, really is. And judgment, or even giving somebody instruction, even giving somebody direction, if you know, you believe you have a little bit more light about the subject, should always be approached in a manner that is there for edification, always. It's not to say, you know, that, well, you, I hate when that happens. Ever happened to you when your thought just like go poof? It just escapes you. Jesus, it'll come back to me. Hallelujah. Anyway, man, James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Help me, Father. James chapter 4, 11 and 12. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. This is James, Yeshua's brother, admonishing the saints, the 12 tribes, as he writes in the beginning of the first chapter, or beginning of his letter. Speak not evil one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, by his evil. Why would you speak? That's the reason for speaking evil. You're actually passing judgment. Speaking evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Pastor just talked about this Shabbat. And when they're talking about judgeth the law, it's talking about judging the royal law, if I'm understanding correctly, and I believe that I am. The royal law that says Yahshua said that, you know, we are to love our neighbors, our brothers and sisters, as ourselves. Because, you know, when we speak evil of our brother or sister, we are actually saying that the lawgiver was in error when he gave us this law, the one that says we're supposed to love our neighbors as our own selves. We're actually judging him for giving, for saying that this law is not correct. In verse 12, for there is one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another man? Be careful again. This is all an admonition and a warning for speaking out of a certain mindset, for being presumptuous, to be bitter, to be enraged, to be, you know, this. You know how many times over the years I've seen this, what the self-proclaimed righteous indignation? Vapors, I'll tell you what. And, of course, every one of them stood up like that have all come to naught. Every one of them, you know, pointing the fingers and screaming, thus saith Yahweh. Just absolutely off the chain. Anyway, Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Galatians 5, 13 through 15. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Yeah, hallelujah. The liberty which is in Yahshua. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, we just got them talking about when James was talking about this. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, if you speak evil of your brother and judge your brother, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. All right, going back to the book of James, chapter 1, 19 through 21. Three verses, 19 through 21. All right. And it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, just not a couple, just not one or two, not just half and half, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of Yah. And of course, we just saw that demonstration in this nasty demonstration of that video, and you all know which one I'm talking about, that was displayed last week against Brother Eric Robinson. Man, that was disturbing. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of Yah. So again, the admonition here: be swift to hear, listen to what people have to say. You spend more, you know, if you spend all that time talking, you ain't got no time to hear. It's just a simple deduction. It really is. If your mouth is running all the time and you constantly got something to say, how in the world do you get time to hear anything? Actually, you're in a better position if you can train yourself to hear what people are saying. You can better deal with them, you know, especially if they are young in the faith. You know, because people are, when you know, you've got 5 years of knowledge under your belt. You got 10 years of teaching and preaching under your belt. You got yourself studies, right? And so you get somebody newer coming in, or somebody that, you know, that, and they have questions. Well, don't run them into the ground with all your answers. Bring them up slowly, in the same type of way, the manner that you were taught. You know, that's because these people are, they can only handle so much. You know, even Paul said that the seasoned were dull of hearing. So where does that leave us dealing with, you know, the babe? So it's just common sense. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of Yah. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. All right, going back to Ecclesiasticus. Yeah, let me see what I got here. Hey, my wife, I don't know why your email says that I'm unblocked. I can't tell you. Hallelujah. Anyway. Okay. Sirach chapter 11, verse 7 through 10. All right. Blame not before thou hast examined the truth. Don't say a word. Don't go sit there and point fingers or anything else until thou hast examined the truth. Understand first. Be fully persuaded in your mind. You know what is going on. You know what all the situation is. You've done your due diligence. And then it says, and then rebuke. So examine the truth. Understand first what is going on, and then rebuke. Answer not before thou hast heard the cause. Remember, be swift to hear, slow to speak. Answer not before thou hast heard the cause, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk, because you think you got something to offer, something to say, and just shut up. When people, if you're sitting there, they'll invite you in if they need your opinion about something, or if they think that you have some spiritual enlightenment about something. Man, I'll sit at the elders' table and I'll listen to, you know, elders talking to Pat. I don't say nothing. You know, I'm there to learn. I want to hear what they got to say. It's not about offering my opinion. I can gain more by, you know, and then once in a while it'll be an opportunity to say something. But that's when the opposite. That's just the way I deal with things. Anyway, strive not in a matter that concerneth thee not. And how often does that happen? Well, I'm going to volunteer to get in the middle of this because I got some enlightenment. I can point out to everybody else what's wrong with this situation. And sit not in judgment with sinners. Japers. My son, meddle not with many matters. I mean, how many times have we seen that people, that we make a judgment as a ministry, especially the eldership here, and you're going to come out with these other people that are going to stand with the ones that just got the judgment and point the fingers back and say that you didn't do this correctly. And that happens. That has happened on several occasions. And even right now, there's a situation where that's happening. It's just, it's off the chain. It really is. But hey, if you got to be justified, I guess that's what you got to do. My son, meddle not with many matters, for if thou meddle much, thou shalt not be innocent. And if thou follow after, thou shalt not obtain, neither shalt thou escape by fleeing. Yeah, again, it's amazing that how much that people really want to know what's going on. They really think that they're entitled to know. And I'm telling you what, the best position for people is just to be concerned with what they got in front of them. And if there's a need that they're to be involved in something, well, that's another story. But man, just be at peace and do what you're supposed to be doing. There's people taking care of this stuff. It'll get handled right. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12 and 13. Proverbs 18, 12 and 13. All right. Before destruction, before this thing comes upon your head, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Jumping the gun. Again, jump. I've got the answer. I'm a walking book of knowledge. I know the Torah upside back, way and down. And I'm going to step in there and I'm going to let you know. I'm sorry I'm laughing, but this has been demonstrated time and time again. Oh, gee, don't be a fool. I mean, don't let yourself be brought to an open shame, you know. The time will come if there's ability for you. And the certain book of Sirach actually talks about that. I think it's in the 18th chapter. Talks about there is a time. If there's an opportunity, you'll get to talk. But when you're sitting amongst great men especially, shut up, you know. But if Yah has something for you to say, then he'll make a way for you to be able to speak it. You know, and again, those that answer matters before they hear it, You know, this is a demonstration of people which, you know, they judge after appearance rather than having all the facts about any given situation, whatever that situation was. You know, they're going to give a conclusion. They're going to pass sentence because they believe that they have some great spiritual discernment and have weighted the matter for themselves. You know, we've already determined this is the way it's going to be. So, damn it, move over. I got something to tell you. Anyway, Psalm chapter 39, verse 1. Psalm 39, verse 1. To the chief musician, even to Judathan, a psalm of David. David said, I will take heed to my ways. Man, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to watch myself. I'm going to observe myself. I'm going to examine my own self, that I sin not with my tongue, and I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Man, this is a man after Yah's own heart. This is good knowledge. I will take heed to my ways. My ways, not everybody else. He's talking, looking in his own self first. Proverbs chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Proverbs 13, 1 through 3. A wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Pastor talked about this on Blog Talk. But a scorner heareth not rebuke. He ain't going to hear it. He ain't got nothing to do with it. He's a scoffer. He's a mocker. He's not going to receive the rebuke that is actually given out in love for correction and edification, causing, knowing him, allowing him to turn from his wicked ways. That is the goodness of Yah that leads us to repentance. I mean, it takes a lot to rebuke somebody. I mean, it really, first of all, it's love of the Most High, because you don't want to see anybody perish. You don't want to see anybody get led into the path of destruction. That's why it's there. Simply to help turn. It's that bridle that pulls you back. You know, that's Yah's goodness. And why would you despise Yah's goodness when that the rebuke is his goodness? Hey, listen here, you know what? It's kind of like a slap alongside the head, but of course, you know, we're proud. We a lot of people walk in this arrogant pride, and they're not going to receive it because they know better. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of transgressors shall eat violence. Ooh, boy. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Pretty simple, straightforward. Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. No, wait, 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes 1 through 8. Not Sirach, just Ecclesiastes. Solomon said, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of Yah, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, mean just uttering all your mind without any type of knowledge, for they consider not that they do evil. What's the evil? Just giving the sacrifice of fools. You stand there offering opinions, passing judgments without any type of knowledge or anything. Shouldn't even concern with the matter. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before Yah, for Yah is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. It should be a fearful thing. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto Yah, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools, and pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is it that thou shouldest not vow than that shouldest vow and not pay. Verse 6, suffer not or not allow not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was there. You're even blaming the host of heaven, for Pete's sake. Wherefore should Yah be angry at that voice and destroy the work of thine hands? Man, shut up. For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou the Most High. And verse 8, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and a violent perverting of judgment and justice, violent, Man, there's cause. There's motion behind this. In a province, marvel not at the matter. Why? Because, you know, this is the way of man. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. So somebody up the chain is going to counteract this perversion of judgment and justice. And it will be called out and brought forth. And there is going to be a reward, a sentence given because of it. Okay, back to Ecclesiasticus, Sirach, chapter 7, verses 4 through 6. Sirach 7, verses 4 through 6. It says, seek not of the Most High's of the Master's preeminence. Now, this is his and his alone. Don't put yourself in the place of judge like the Most High. Neither of the King the seat of honor. Justify not thyself before the Most High. And boast not of thy wisdom before the King. Man, just shut up. You don't know nothing. Just be quiet. That's why he's the King. Because he knows something. He was put in that position because he actually has an understanding. He has the wisdom. He has the vision. And this is the same thing. The pastor is the voice of the face of the ministry. Just be quiet. That's why Yah raised him up to be where he's at, simply because of that. So, man, you be careful how you approach Yah's anointed, Yah's elect. And boast not of thy wisdom before the King. Man, I know it all, man. I'm going to tell you, this is how it should be. You listen to me. Seek not to be judge. Don't seek to be in their place, being not able to take away iniquity, lest at any time thou fear the person of the mighty and the stumbling block in the way of the uprightness. All right. I felt I needed to put this in here, this getting towards the end of this study, just to kind of reiterate and, just maybe help open up the conscience a little bit more as an elder, what that actually means and how I deal with it in my mind. Okay, in the ministry of Strayway, Yah has appointed and set up a body of elders to oversee matters in the ministry and to judge the matters which come before them. Remember, the whole context of this study is all about judgment, and this, of course, is another reflection about judgment. But the one thing that is much different with the eldership than there is with the layer people, the people that aren't in the position of being in the position of, that's what an elder is, it's a judge. And there is with the lay people is that the elders understand the weight of the judgments they must give. Because when we judge a matter, it's in the fear of the Most High, because as we'll read later on, you'll find out why. The eldership of this ministry does its due diligence. This is how we approach judgments. It's not off the hip, just, let's pull it out, put out the judgment gun and just pull the trigger. It doesn't work that way. We do our due diligence in any situation to first amend the situation and secondly, prevent a repeat of situations before it speaks judgment and directions on matters, because the elders understand that they are judging on behalf of, not on behalf of man, but the elders judge for the Most High. This is indeed a very fearful thing, and I don't know of one elder right now that is still in the ministry, still attending fellowship, still active in the ministry that, has this, that they know this to be the case. Just put it that way. See, Elder Mitchell's in the room. Bless you, my elder, in the room tonight. I'm sure that he can tell you as well that it's a fearful thing to actually have to make some type of, judgment. That's what we're talking about in any given situation, because it's going to be accounted back to you if you do it in the wrong type of spirit, wrong type of manner. You're dealing with Yah's little ones. So if we're expected that, I mean, this should be an example to everybody else that don't be hasty to do anything. All right, back to the book of Sirach, chapter 10, verse 2. Sirach, chapter 10, verse 2. As the judge of the people is himself, so are his officers. Huh. So it starts with the top man. There's a reflection. And what manner of man the ruler of the city is, such are all they that dwell therein. Well, there's the first. Good boy. Well, we'll just let it ring. Let me see if I can turn it. I think Scott got it. Thank you, Brother Scott. I think you got it for me. Anyway, as the judge of the people is himself, so are his officers. And what manner of man the ruler of the city is, such are all they that dwell therein. You know, of course, Pastor Dowell, you know, the face of the ministry, the one that the Father raised up in this to begin this ministry, he requires a very high standard amongst the eldership. The pastor just does. I mean, he sets a standard that he expects, especially the elders, to adhere to that eldership, to adhere to that standard. You know, he carries himself very circumspect all the time, you know, with honor, with integrity, you know, and he expects no less from us as elders. He really doesn't. The eldership or the heads of the assemblies, whatever the case may be, because we're a representation of the righteousness of Yah and the vision and the standard he upholds. And, you know, I for one, I don't expect anything less. You know, I mean, how could you, how can you actually be trusted by the people and because you're entrusted to them to perform your duty if you're not holding the highest standard of holiness that you possibly can? And this, of course, is what Sirach chapter 10, verse 2, it says, as the judge of the people is himself, so are his officers. I mean, if we had a wicked judge, if you know, the one in charge of any ministry was, you know, the wicked, and everyone down underneath him would act in the same, carry the same type of spiritual attitude. It's just a spiritual law. There might be one righteous in there, and then he'll bail and go with the righteous. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. 2 Chronicles 19, 4 through 6. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto Yahweh the Elohim of their fathers, the Most High, the Elohim of their fathers. And he set judges in the land, because he knew this was the thing that needed to be done. I mean, Jehoshaphat, you know, he made a lot of sense. He did that was right in the sight of the Most High. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by. He wanted to get this stuff back under control. He wanted law. He wanted order. And as we'll read later on, how it was established that judges were picked, you know, to pass righteous judgment, to judge matters, to take care of situations and circumstances. And he set judges in the land through all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. And he said to the judges, now this is Jehoshaphat's words to those that he appointed judges. Now you take heed to what you do. You be damn careful about what you're doing, because you're in this position. For you judge not for man. This isn't for the glory of man. This isn't for the, you know, this isn't for the esteem of man. This has nothing to do with man, but for the Most High, who is with you in the judgment. That's who you're representing. You're representing the king in your judgment, these elders, these judges that were set in the land. Wherefore now let the fear of Yah, this is the thing we started out with, that these are the things that people go off and these half-cocked decide that they're going to speak their mind. They're going to put words of judgment out there. They're going to, you know, proclaim destruction, or, you know, you know, try to put out somebody else's mote in their eye where the beam is in their eye. They've lost the fear of the Most High. That's the thing that would keep us from speaking, you know, unrighteously. Wherefore now let the fear of Yah be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Most High, our Elohim, no respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 1, just one verse. If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. But it says here the key thing is that the judges may judge them. You know, of course, here's a body the judgments of the elders usually are always taking place here at Straightway. I've been through, I think, sat through every one. In fact, I've had to conduct my own. But the fact of the matter is that's why there's more than one person in authority here, because there's safety in the multitude of counselors. You know, as an eldership, we just don't take this upon our one person to go ahead and make the determination, you know, what's going to be the outcome of any given situation. It's actually done in one accord, according to the scriptures, because there is safety in a multitude of counselors. And so between all of us, you know, the Spirit of the Most High is there, and we are judging for them, no matter how uncomfortable it may be. It's really something. It's, you know, when people come sit before the eldership, and the reason I'm saying all this is because if we can have brothers or sisters on their own and just go out there and, you know, just half cock and start spewing this crap and pointing fingers, whatever the fact, you know, what they ought to be doing is looking at how the Father's appointed this stuff and how the example's right in front of you. I mean, if you don't know by now, hopefully this blog talk give you some type of indication that when we set a judgment, you know, these people come down, you can tell that, hey, they're on pins and needles. There's definitely a spirit of the Most High, that the fear of the Most High is definitely in the room, I'll tell you that much. And they're looking at us like, you know, whoo boy, what am I in front of? But I'll tell you what, when I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, oh, Father, please help me. Give me wisdom, Yah. Please give me discernment, because I sure don't want to put something out there that ain't right. I really don't, because, you know, the case may be they're still one of Yah's little ones, even when they're sitting before you. What happens after the fact, that may be a different story. If they can't listen to the judgment, because it's not of man, it's of Yah, you know, the determination, the fruit always shows. Anyway, let me go ahead and finish this up. Exodus chapter 18, verses 19 through 22. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and Yah shall be with thee. This is talking, the Most High is talking to Moshe. Be thou for the people Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto the Most High. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. So you're there to appoint, to lead, to give direction. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. What kind of able men? What's the first thing? Such as fear Yah, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place these over them, over the people, to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. See, some people this stuff just been appointed to, not for everybody. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. And of course, I wish I'd included in Matthew 18, and, you know, if you've got an alter fault with your brother, you go to your brother. You know, you perceive a certain way that he's erred, he stumbled, that he's in transgression, you go to your brother. And then here, all of a sudden, here's the same type of correlation coming in here. And if he neglects to hear you, then Yahshua, absolutely, y'all know the story in Matthew 18, that the direction, the instruction, you know, you'll get two other people, you get two other witnesses, and let them, and all of a sudden they've been appointed judges to hear the matter. And I'll tell you what, I've been through this position myself plenty of times, especially the early days here. I used to think that everything was going on, and I was always included every time. I was like, Father, why does everything come up? It seemed like I'm always in the middle of it. You know, I didn't know it at the time, but anyway, it was just to help strengthen me. Anyway, but you know, and you're dealing with a brother, then you have to come up and you have to be one of the two witnesses, the two, you know, people that are going to come up and hear the matter, and you don't know anything about it, and then you're looking and you have to make a judgment on this thing. You know, you're looking at the guy that you're talking to, and then Father, please, because you understand that. This is a terrifying thing. It really is. You know, you're again, you've got somebody in front of you trying to preserve them, trying to say the right thing, but you're also trying to be honorable and firm. And because you want to see them, you know, hear that, because obviously they're blind. They can't tell they're in transgression, but everybody else knows it. So, you know, you and the person that the other two or three witnesses, they're trying to help establish the truth. And they're making a judgment. Brother, no, you're not right in this, man. You know, brother, you are not. In the Bible, you ought to mouth the two or more witnesses and let every be word established. So, and then when they don't hear that, it's like, oh, my gosh, here we go. Because you can really feel that. It's a, boy, I tell you, if you want to sense something and make your ears perk up, it does. And so then you have to go before the entire assembly, and that is something. I mean, it really, and of course, we just, people of the book, we live by the book, and it's a very sobering thing. So be careful with your words, you know, be very careful how you speak. And, you know, you don't want somebody else's blood on your hands. You don't want to speak presumptuously, erringly. Put some thought, stop your mind before you go ahead and speak something. Shut your mind, consider what you're about to say. Speak is in words that are there to edify, but also to, you know, if somebody's obviously having a situation someplace, that you can entreat this brother or sister, you know, and you can hopefully turn them from their way. But to go off on that crap like we saw last week, yeah, get yeah, I tell you, that one's a straightway classic. Get the funny brand out of the well. Oh my goodness, yeah, that wasn't just an oppressive spirit, that was full possession, I think, in that one. Anyway, hallelujah. Well, anyway, that's the conclusion of the study tonight on judgment. I hope I was able to say something that would bring some type of edification, some type of knowledge, understanding. Anyway, and, you know, just consider what I have to say. Hallelujah. Anyway, we're ticking down, getting really close to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Hallelujah. We're just doing what we have to around here to get things prepared and keeping ourselves busy. But hallelujah, that's the blessing. You know, good fresh air every day and the saints continually. A good set-apart lifestyle. Hallelujah. Anyway, y'all, encourage you, of course. You know, y'all know about the mandate, about the Steve Campanelli thing. I think we're on day 3 now or something of that. You know, keep plowing on at that. Because I'll tell you what, you talk about a wicked man and a wicked mouth and a foul cursing, that stuff all, boy, that's vile. That really is disturbing how many times that, you know, that this ministry, especially pastors, reached out trying to preserve that man and all the labor the saints went through to see that type of position. That's totally blown possession there too as well. But, you know, that's psychotic. Oh, bless y'all. Thank y'all for the kind words of encouragement. Appreciate them. But, you know, hey, y'all have fervent prayer one for another, and especially for the men of Yah, for Pastor Dahl in particular, the elders, so that we can all strive together to be perfected and be holy and get ready for our coming King. All right. Hey, y'all have a good week. Be encouraged. Stand strong. And hopefully we'll get to see y'all at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. All right. Hey, y'all be blessed. And shalom. The King is coming.